May 1st. We've decided against building another deck to replace the one that fell off. No one used the old deck once we built the porch, and it was an eyesore anyway. No, Daryl has decided what we really need now is a fire pit. I'm going to start a men's group, he told me this morning over breakfast. I enjoy my guild friends, and I'm having a great time discussing the new quilt shop with you and Sheila, but I think I could use some guy time. I took a bite of avocado toast and considered this. Who are you going to ask to join? Steve the plumber, he began. Terry Calvano from work, and Scott Culkin from down the street. I thought you didn't like Scott, I said. I thought he talked about the Rolling Stones too much. He does talk about the Rolling Stones too much, Daryl said. But the other day it occurred to me that the only time I ever run into Scott is at the Odell's holiday brunch. Maybe he's not at his best in that kind of social situation. They need to serve mimosas, I said. Neighborhood gatherings work a lot better when someone is serving mimosas. We'll have beer at my men's club, Daryl said as he stabbed a piece of bacon on his fork and twirled it around. Not a keg or anything, but enough to get everyone talking. I reached over to pluck the bacon off of Daryl's fork. He should know by now never to tempt me with bacon. What are you going to talk about? Besides the Rolling Stones, I mean. Daryl shrugged. Guy stuff, I guess. If we end up going deeper, that's great. I wouldn't mind talking about the pros and cons of toxic masculinity, that sort of thing. There are pros to toxic masculinity? I asked through a mouthful of bacon. That's concerning. Yeah, that came out wrong. I just think it would be interesting to talk about the upsides to being a guy. Like ruling the world, I suggested, or getting better looking as you get older. That is, if you don't let yourself go. Maybe you could encourage Scott to start working out. He's put on a few pounds. Daryl wagged a finger at me. No fat shaming. Isn't that your number one rule? When it comes to women, but men? I don't know. You know what drives me crazy? You'll be out at the mall or a restaurant, and there are always these guys, these sloppy, overweight guys dressed like sixth graders with their baseball caps and high tops, guys who could use a refresher course in personal hygiene, who are talking smack about the women walking by. Rating them one body part at a time. I mean the nerve. Men are pigs, Daryl agreed. Men are pigs, I agreed with Daryl. But not all men, he continued. I'm not. Sam's not. Steve the plumber's not. I guess so, I said. I bet George Clooney's not a pig. Daryl stood up and carried his breakfast plate to the sink. Are you still stuck on George Clooney? I thought you gave him up for Kevin Costner. What gave you that idea? I asked, holding up my coffee cup to signal my need for more. Oh, I know. You're thinking about the actor on Longmire. The poor man's Kevin Costner, Daryl quipped as he came back with the coffee pot. Back to my men's group. You're good with the fire pit? I think it's a great idea, I told him. You should invite Sam to join your group. I would, but he doesn't have time, not with a new baby on the way. Daryl paused. You're okay with me making the baby a quilt, right? I nodded. Of course I was all right with that. What was one more quilt, after all? As soon as my friends at Guild heard Jessica and Sam were pregnant, at least seven of them got to work on quilts for the baby. Okay, maybe they were just looking for an excuse to sew, but I get it. I do the same thing. Sheila is making the baby a quilt, and so is Kate. And they're both making the twins' new quilts so they won't feel left out. Like I said, what's one more quilt? Am I going to make the baby a quilt? Eventually. First, there's the tiny matter of the show quilt. I've got 4 weeks to get something made. And I'm hoping I'll be inspired. Sandy Howard is doing a trunk show of Boro quilts. I don't know much about them, just that it's a Japanese technique. Here's hoping I'll come home inspired and ready to sew. May 2nd. I am in love with Japanese quilts. Okay, I can't actually claim to have a firm knowledge of the depth and width of Japanese quilt culture. I mean, sure, it's a small country, but they've been making quilts there for centuries. Before she did the trunk show last night, Sandy showed us slides of all sorts of quilts she's collected from Japan. Yosugiri quilts, wabi-sabi quilts, sashiko quilts, plus beautiful patchwork quilts and quilts with amazing hand stitching. It was glorious. I've always wanted to go to Japan in a vague sort of way, but now I feel like it's a bucket list item. I tried to explain this to Sheila this morning at Linway's, but she was completely absorbed in her plans for Thimble Pleasures. How absorbed? She only ate one eclair, half of an eclair. We'd order two, one apiece, and then our waitress, Courtney, brought us four by accident. She told us to keep them. They were on the house. Well, everybody knows if you're given an eclair on the house, it doesn't have any calories. And still, Sheila just let it sit there. It was a total waste of an eclair. What's wrong with you? I asked. It's not like you to pass up perfectly good pastry. I know, Sheila said, not bothering to look up from her phone. But I'm trying to find the best price on shelving. Well, really, I'm trying to find the best price on shipping shelving. Why is shipping so dang expensive? Fuel is expensive, I pointed out. Hiring people to put stuff in a truck and take it out and walk it up 3 flights is expensive. The world is expensive. Sheila sighed and put down her phone. Am I making a huge mistake? I don't have to open a quilt shop. All signs indicate I won't make any money by opening a quilt shop. I'll be lucky if I break even. The fact is, I could call Gail today, confess my sins, and offer her the space. I held up my hand, like a traffic cop wanting to put a stop to this nonsense. What have you dreamed about for the last 20 years? Opening a quilt shop, Sheila replied, as though she were confessing a crime. But Marnie, dreaming about something is one thing. When you're dreaming about something, it's all upside. For 20 years, I've been imagining myself behind a counter, surveying my rows of lovely fabric and spraying Mary Ellen's Best Press into the air like perfume. Mary Ellen's Best Press is much too expensive to waste like that, I admonished her. It was a fantasy that didn't involve bookkeepers and accountants and delivery costs. She paused and looked off to the left. This is one of Sheila's tells. When she looks to the left but isn't actually looking at anything in particular, she's about to say something she knows you don't want to hear. Speaking of bookkeepers, I've been thinking about ways to keep down costs. So when Emily called last night, my traffic cop hand went right back up. No, Stop right there. Do not continue. Do not pass go. When Emily called last night, Sheila soldiered on, we talked about her doing my bookkeeping as a temporary thing. She's trying to start her own music label and she could use the extra cash. Does Emily actually have experience as a bookkeeper? I inquired. She does. Sheila's face lit up. When she was managing the feral kittens, she did all the bookkeeping, and they were very big in Seattle. I took a bite of eclair to give myself a moment to think. Emily coming to work for Thimble Pleasures, even on a temporary basis, was a terrible idea. But I had to be careful. It's a dangerous thing to come between a mother and her child, even a difficult, complicated child. Plus, I had to admit that Emily had yet to come to Sheila for a handout, even after Kevin wrote that extra-large check to make up for all the checks he should have written over the years. Maybe she turned over a new leaf, was doing her best to be a true blue adult. Doubtful, but a best friend could dream. So does that mean Emily would move back to Milton Falls? I asked after finishing off the eclair. I thought she hated it here. She did hate it here, Sheila agreed. But now she's reconsidering. Apparently, there are some bands in Milton Falls that are starting to get national attention. Emily says that Rolling Stone actually referred to Milton Falls as the Seattle of the Midwest. We do have amazing coffee here, I had to admit. And apparently we've got a thriving music scene. Emily has been scouting studio space online, and apartments too. It sounds like if she moves back, Jess will move with her. I didn't bother asking who Jess was. It's impossible to keep up with Emily's love life, so why even try? Are you sure it's such a good thing to work with family? I asked. You're such a mother hen to begin with. Sheila looked offended. Me? A mother hen? What are you talking about? I'm a total hands-off mom. No, you're a mother hen who thinks she's a hands-off mom. You try to keep out of your kids' lives, but in the background, you're cluck, cluck, clucking away. I am not, Sheila protested. When was the last time you heard me clucking about Carrie? Carrie is a total low-maintenance child. Still, you do cluck an awful lot about her love life. Can we stop saying cluck? Sheila asked. It's starting to sound weird. We can stop saying cluck if you'll concede the point, I told her. You actively worry about your kids on a regular basis. Only three of them have their acts together, so you're able to keep your worries contained. But if Emily moves to Milton Falls and starts working for you, she's going to be in your face. And what's more, I stopped myself. I knew Sheila wouldn't like what I was about to say, and so I thought it best not to say it. What? What's more what? She demanded. What are you going to tell me about my daughter that I don't already know? I held up my hands in surrender. I just think Emily can be reckless, especially with your feelings. I don't want you to get hurt. And I don't want you to get your hopes up. What happened next surprised me. Sheila picked up her purse and pulled out a 10. That will cover my coffee and my eclair, she said as she dropped the bill on the table. I'm sorry we can't all be like you, Marnie. I'm sorry we can't all have perfect children like Sam and Kate, who are just so wonderful all of the time. I guess that's because you were a perfect mom. What are you talking about? I stared at Sheila, wondering if I was losing my mind or if she was losing hers. You know I wasn't a perfect mom. Far from it, and you know I don't think I was a perfect mom, and you know that Sam and Kate aren't close to being perfect people. But they're a lot closer to perfect than Emily, aren't they? Sheila stood. Emily has made her fair share of mistakes. I won't deny that. But somebody has to give her a second chance, and right now that somebody is me. With that, she stomped out of Linway's. I sat back in my seat, stunned. What just happened? It's not that Sheila and I never have spats, but our arguments are always grounded in reality. After I finished my second eclair, I paid the bill and headed home, where I've been ever since, looking at pictures of Japanese quilts and wondering what on earth I said that was so wrong. I've texted Sheila 3 times, but so far, no reply. May 4th. I think I slept a total of 90 minutes last night. I finally managed to fall asleep around 6 a.m., and at 7:30, Daryl walked in with my phone. It's pinged 5 times in the last 3 minutes, he said. I think Sheila wants to talk. Sure enough, there were 5 texts from Sheila. The first one read, I'm sorry about yesterday. Can we talk? Second one, meet me at Linway's at 9. Need to talk to you. Third one, don't be mad at me, Em. I'm so stressed out right now, I might bust. Fourth, you hate me, don't you? Fifth, fine, I understand. 50 years of friendship down the tubes because of one bad moment. There were lots of emojis sprinkled throughout. Crying emojis, explosion emojis, hair-pulling emojis. I smiled. The old Sheila had returned. When you have a long friendship, you're going to have arguments, spats, and disagreements. Feelings will get hurt from time to time. One of our first falling outs was in high school when we both had crushes on Andy Polacco. Andy was a popular football player, way out of our league. But for some reason, he'd auditioned for Fiddler on the Roof junior year, so we actually had access to him. He was a nice guy, especially for a football player. Guys who played football at our high school were treated like gods, and it usually went to their heads. Because we were in the crowd scenes together, the three of us got to be friends. And then, one day, out of nowhere, he asked Sheila on a date. When she accepted, I stopped talking to her for a week. Sheila insisted if the tables had been turned, she would have been happy for me, so why couldn't I be happy for her? She left over 20 notes in my locker making her case. I knew I was being childish, but I just couldn't help it. Of course, when Andy asked me out the following week, I had to say no or else risk being a hypocrite. Side note, Andy Polacco now owns a used car lot out on Industrial Drive Parkway. For some reason, this has always depressed me. For all of his polyamorous ways, he really was a nice guy and deserved a much better life than the one he ended up with. Anyway, I texted Sheila and asked her to come over instead of us meeting at Linway's. I was in no condition to be seen in public. My entire face looked bloated and wan after so little sleep, and no amount of coffee was going to pep me up. Sheila arrived a little after 9 with a box of donuts from Monuts, our second favorite donut place after Dunkin's. Usually, we try to privilege local business, but let's face it, Dunkin' Donuts has its act together. You look awful, she said as soon as she saw me. Are you sick? I look awful because I didn't get any sleep last night, I informed her. I was too busy worrying about my best friend losing her mind. Sheila handed me the donuts and headed for the coffee pot. I'm going nuts, I know, but opening a business is stressful. I sat down at the kitchen table and tried to resist the donut siren call. In a moment of sleep-induced weakness, I'd stepped on the scale this morning. Somehow, I've gained 5 pounds since the beginning of the year. How on earth did that happen? You ran your own business for 20 years, I pointed out. A wildly successful business, I might add. You're a pro. I don't get why you're so stressed out by opening a quilt shop. Sheila returned to the table with 2 mugs in the coffee pot. Because this is my dream business, Marn. If it fails, what do I have left? You have me, I said. You have your children and your grandchildren. You have quilts. You have donuts. It's a wonderful life. Sheila filled a mug and set it in front of me. I know, but a person still needs a big dream, even at our age. What do you mean, even at our age? We're only 64. These days, that makes us practically spring chickens. Yeah, but it's not like being 24 or even 34. When you're 34 and your plans don't work out, you've got all the time in the world to come up with a new plan. But when you're 64, how many more shots do you have left to start something new and see it through? I have to be honest, this is a big difference between me and Sheila. I had a teaching career. I was a good teacher and I worked hard. When I retired after 35 years of teaching, I put up my working girl hat for good and never looked back. Being a small business owner is a whole other country. Sheila worked hard too, and she socked away a lot of money for retirement. Not only that, but she made a pretty penny when she sold her bridal gown business. Still, she's never felt financially secure the same way I have, with my pension and Daryl's pension, plus our savings and our excellent health insurance. I don't think she had the same sense of closure when she sold her shop that I did when I retired from teaching. I looked at her through bleary eyes. Sheila, Thimble Pleasures is going to set Milton Falls on fire. This town has needed its own quilt shop since, well, since forever, since Leary's Fabrics closed in 1978. Quilting tourism is going to be a huge thing here now that we're getting the museum and the historic society. You're going to be a wild success. And yes, it's stressful now. There's a lot to do to get things up and running. But I'm here to help, and so is Daryl. And you know if you put the word out, people from the guild will step up to help too. Sheila seemed to take this in. Finally, she nodded. You're right. I know you're right. But Marn? I smiled at her. Yeah, Sheila? I need to hire Emily. It's only until she gets her studio up and going. 6 months at most. A year tops. What could I say? Sheila knew how I felt about the matter. It was her business, her decision. Even though Daryl and I had invested in it, I didn't have the right to say who could and couldn't work at Thimble Pleasures. So I shrugged. Fine, I said. I bet she'll do a great job. She was always good with numbers. Remember that time she won that math competition? Yeah, right before she dropped out of high school the first time, Sheila said, sounding a little wistful. Just think what might have happened if... She stopped herself. Nope, not gonna do it. I've been down the if-only road too many times with Emily, but I'll never give up on her. You're a good mom, I said, taking a chocolate-covered donut from the Dunkin's box. Sheila reached out her hand and I deposited the donut in it. "I'm an idiot," she said. "You're a fool for love," I corrected her. She smiled. "That I am." That she is. But aren't we all? Thank you so much for listening to Diary of a Mad Quilter and for being a Story Guild subscriber. Keep tuning in for more quilt fiction and more quilty fun.